Richard Herring's Objective, the series in which Richard examines an object that's been the cause of controversy. This week, page 3.
It's Richard Herring's Objective, and please welcome Richard Herring.
Thank you. Hello, I am Richard Herring, and this is my objective. It's kind of an anti-antiques roadshow, where we take an object out of the dustbin of history, give it a polish, and then when Arthur Negus tells us it's worthless and offensive, we laugh in his stupid antique-loving face and say, no, Arthur, it's actually worth more than you know. And anyway, what are you still doing on this show? You died in 1985. I only came on here because I thought I might meet Fiona Bruce. In her leathers, hopefully. We're trying to reclaim objects that are offensive. That's the basic gist of it. Joining me, as always, someone who you'll probably recognise as the assistant bank manager from one episode of the 1990s sitcom Kiss Me, Kate, is TV's Emma Kennedy. That was probably the highlight of your career, right, the unnamed assistant bank manager.
Well, it was almost, because I was actually in a second episode.
Were you? In two episodes of Kiss
Me, Kate? I was in two episodes in which I appeared as an interviewee.
Wow. Different character. Must have been confusing for fans.
Different costume.
Sorry. The fan of Kiss Me, Kate. Let's see what object we're going to be objective about this week.
The Page 3 Girl.
That's right, the controversial British tabloid tradition in which pictures of young women with unfettered mammary glands appear in the newspaper, usually on the third page, but if there's a big or tragic news story, then respectfully move to page 11 or 13 if it's really serious. It's just a harmless bit of fun, though, isn't it? Nothing wrong with nudity. And page 3 brightens up the morning. We all have a little gawp and a laugh at the accompanying text, which supposedly gives an opinion about some news story, as if a girl with no top on would know about current affairs. It's there on the breakfast table, giving our daughters a valuable indication of how society views her and her place in the world. But some feminists argue that page 3 objectifies women, turning them to nothing but a pair of breasts. But that's not true, because in some of the pictures, you can also see their bum as well. So think on, feminists. I'm joking. The Female Unit by Germaine Greer was a big influence on me and my life. I haven't read it. It looked a bit boring. But my mum and dad had a copy of it when I was little. I don't know if you've seen it. It's got a brilliant cover. It's like a naked torso of a woman. Naked. You can see it all on display for free. It's brilliant. She's got no arms, no legs, no head. Just the good bits. Germaine Greer, she might be a feminist, but she knows how to get us going, eh, fellas? Something for us, that's nice. If you want to pick on someone, pick on that sicko Germaine Greer. At least the page 3 women have heads. That's right, nice thing. Should men be more offended than women by page 3? Maybe we're being exploited. Boobs are our weakness. Men have boob envy, I think, much more than women envy anything we might have that they don't. Freud, you gigantic cigar. How must it feel to have breasts? If only I could. Emma, I keep forgetting.
Yes.
You're a female, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I knew it would come in useful having you on the show eventually if we stuck with it long enough.
Yeah.
How do you ever get anything done? Do you spend all time looking at them and playing with them at home? Or do you?
No, I'm not a man.
Okay. Seeing you have two,
yeah.
What is a breast exactly? Do you know?
Well, according to Wikipedia, a mammary gland is a specific type of apocrine gland.
Oh, yeah.
Specialised for manufacture of colostrum at the time of parturition. Mm. And mammary glands can be identified as apocrine because they exhibit striking decapitation secretion. I mean, whether mammary glands are modified sweat glands or sebaceous glands still remains controversial.
You really know how to take the fun out of something, don't you? But how do the idiotic great British public feel about rib balloons being displayed in the tabloids?
I think a lot of people like them. I'm a girl and they don't cause me any offence. I think it's up to the girls themselves. If that's what they want to do, then it's their bodies, their own lives.
Well, I don't think it's appropriate to have pictures of nude women. It's degrading.
It's not hurting my eyes, so that's all right.
It's an institution. It's part of the British heritage, and we're very proud to have it.
It downgrades women. Do you really want just to be goggled at that? Are women not more important than that? And I've got my wife and I love her, and what do I want to look at another woman for?
Yeah, when you're goggling your wife, why would you need to... Why would you need to goggle at any other women, eh? It seems, though, amazingly, largely people accept this as normal, which is a bit strange, because It isn't normal. It's been in Britain for 41 years now. A whole generation has grown up thinking this is the way things are without even stopping to think if it's right or wrong or weird. Think about it. Isn't it strange putting a naked girl in a newspaper? Are breasts news? Maybe they are. Ladies and gentlemen of the press, we have called this press conference to reveal an astounding breakthrough in our understanding of biology. Miss Harris, could you open your blouse?
What are those things?
We're not entirely sure. We're calling them breasts.
Or bosoms.
Or bosoms.
Is it some kind of disease?
Are they contagious?
Can they be contained?
Well, they can be contained, luckily, and they don't seem to be dangerous at all, although you can sometimes slow you down a bit if you're running for the bus.
Well, surely this is an isolated case.
We don't think so. In fact, we think as many as 50% of the population might be afflicted.
50%? You're joking.
We don't want hysteria. We want to let the public know about these breasts coolly and calmly. We hope you will put this discovery on the front page of every paper in the land.
No, wait, don't you hear? Frankie Kokoza from X Factor has changed his hairstyle.
Page three then?
Yeah, okay.
Good.
And we're also worried that the bosom might emit some kind of amnesia ray, which makes people who've seen it forget that it existed.
Like in that episode of Doctor Who, a bit yeah. Similar.
So, please print this news on a daily basis. Thank you.
Personally, I've largely just accepted page three as a normal thing. Even if you never buy a tabloid, you know it's there and you start to accept it and not question its existence. But if you don't question stuff, the next thing is you won't question it if, I don't know, newspapers start to listen in on people's phone calls. I love breasts. I don't really mind if people come to an arrangement where the people who want to see some breasts pay the people who are prepared to reveal them for some money. But in a newspaper, you wouldn't like it if they put news in your porn. Oh, hello, I have come to fix your shower.
Come in, the shower is this way.
Oh, yeah, I see the problem. I will be getting out my plumbing, too.
Let me help you with that.
Oh, yeah.
But first, over to Kenneth Kendall for the latest headlines.
News and nudity do not belong together, though I have noticed a worrying trend on BBC News to get stories about scantily clad ladies onto the telly. In late September 2011, George Alagiah reported on the heatwave. Some film of some women in bikinis came up, and with a really salacious look on his face, George Alagiah said,
"What summer should look like."
That's not news. He might as well have said,
"Four." I'd quite like to snog both of them. Are you with me, viewers? Oh, no. There's Ed Miliband's stupid, desperate face. That's ruined everything.
Was page three the start of a moral landslide that will one day lead to all news having to have a sexy angle to capture our interest? How did page three all begin? It started in November 1969. Man had recently walked on the moon. There was very little left for humanity to achieve. So, in an attempt to revitalise the Sun newspaper, Rupert Murdoch began publishing suggestive but clothed photos of models. A year later, editor Larry Lamb... That's what he's really called. The Sun was at that point edited by a Beatrix Potter character. He took a gamble whilst Rupert Murdoch was out of the country and printed a photo of 20-year-old Stephanie Raine with no top on. I feel a bit sorry for Rupert Murdoch. His editors are always doing stuff without telling him about it, aren't they? You'd think he'd have learned to get a tighter grip on the reins. Luckily for Murdoch, circulation went up by 600,000 copies as a result, and so he felt no need to sack an editor who'd taken advantage of his absence. I spoke to Claire Short, the former Labour MP who campaigned against page three from the mid-80s and tried to pass a bill to ban it. The Sun's response was to launch a jokey but quite vicious campaign against Short. I don't know if Rupert Murdoch knew anything about that. Probably not. He seems to have no control whatsoever over anyone who works for him. Here's what Claire had to say.
And then the Sun started to persecute me. 20 things you ought to know about Crazy Claire. And, I mean, in a later phase, they sent a busload of bosomy women to stand outside my house so that they could take photos of me with them.
Right. Now I know that, I'm going to complain about that myself and hope they'll do the same if they send me lots of buses of bosomy women. I think I could play them at their own game.
I've noticed the bus that the Sun sent out on these occasions is also topless. What's wrong with these people? Is nothing allowed the dignity of a top? It seems odd to have a newspaper hounding an elected representative of our government, and Short was portrayed as envious and unattractive and bitter. The Sun superimposed her head on a topless model in the paper and ran the headline,
"Fat, jealous Claire brands Page Three porn."
It said making her a Page Three girl would be
a mission impossible.
Yeah, that's mainly because Claire Short would obviously not want to do that. I'm glad the Sun stopped short of kidnapping her and forcing her to do it against her will. They have some morals. The Sun said,
"Page Three girls are intelligent, vibrant young women who appear in the Sun out of choice and because they enjoy the job. Unsurprisingly, millions of our readers, men and women, enjoy looking at them. If Miss Short ran our world, it would be time to move to Mars."
I think that would be a bit of an overreaction. They're just because Page Three got banned, you'd seriously spend the money to build a fleet of spacecraft to take every reader of the Sun to Mars. That'd be prohibitively expensive, I'd say. It would take about 214 days to get there. Then you'd have to establish and build a colony on an inhospitable planet with a thin atmosphere, freezing temperatures, no surface water, significant radiation, and a third of the gravity of this planet. It might be possible to terraform the planet Mars, but how long would that take and what would it cost? If Page Three's really that important to you, it would be cheaper to provide an actual Page Three girl for every reader who could live with them and strip off as and when required. You know, that whole Mars plan, that is... it's insane and frankly unworkable. I don't know if they've run it past Rupert Murdoch. I don't think it... Also astonishing that the editor of the paper could pillory an elected representative of our government in this way, merely for questioning their policy. Who'd have thought anyone could behave in that way? Who was this editor? Some horrible, sleazy man. Rebecca Wade. Oh, what a shame to have a black spot on her otherwise blameless record. It wasn't even likely that Short would succeed.
How close did you get to banning Page Three?
It was never going to succeed in the 10-minute rule bills I brought in, because they only ever influence opinion and then get incorporated in other legislation. So the votes got higher. I think we won a lot of the argument and the ground, but no, it was out of my bill, it was never going to pass. Yeah. And as I say, I think pornographic type images of women proliferated thereafter. That's the bad side. And the good side is women knew that most women hate it, and that was sort of liberating.
As a feminist that I clearly am, I agree with Short that Page Three is at the moment an embarrassing oddity. And yet, as a man, I can't really get over my breast obsession. I love them, and I always have. When I was 13, I became obsessed with my older sister's best friend, Barbie, who was fittingly a pretty little blonde doll of a girl. I took any opportunity to look down her top. I remember once, in fact, she was sitting in our lounge watching TV. I realised I stood right behind her, sort of hovering in the doorway, in a position where no one would realistically ever stop and stand. I could see ever so slightly further down her top than I would have been able to do otherwise, so I stood there. It was like about a square inch of flesh I could see, but to the 13-year-old me, just seeing part of the actual breasts of an 18-year-old girl was unbearably exciting. The same is also true of the 44-year-old me. We do have that in common. It doesn't end there. If it did, it would be a charming story. One night, Barbie was staying the night in our house. She was going to stay in my sister's room, which was the room next to mine, while my sister slept downstairs. I came up with a genius plan to see a bit more of Barbie. I decided what I would do was to bore a hole in the wall between our two rooms so I could watch Barbie undress. How I thought that would possibly work, I have no idea, but I gave it a go. I made a hole in the wall with a compass, which... I don't think that was ever used for its intended purpose of drawing geometrical circles. I think mainly used vandalism, graffiti. It was a little weapon nerds could protect themselves with their maths kits. We didn't need knives back then. It's escalated out of control. You kids today, go back to the compass. That's all you need. That's the message to my young fans who listen to this. Use a compass. So I made a hole. It was about an inch in diameter. I got about halfway through the wall and then I stopped. I don't know if that's because I realised that an aperture of that diameter might just get spotted. Barbie might just see a little eye peering through that, depending on what I chose to put through it, I suppose. But more likely, I think I got to the hard plasterboard in the middle of the wall, realised I wouldn't be able to get any further without specialised tools. So I was filled with shame about what I've done. I tried to hide the damage so I didn't get into trouble. I filled the fissure with tissue paper that I had in my room for some reason. Then, rather confusingly, I covered that up with a poster of the Leeds United footballer, Frank Worthington. Which, I wasn't really even interested in football, and Frank Worthington was like a middle-aged man with a moustache. It was a very odd choice to cover up my sexual primus. I think that's the most interesting psychological detail of that whole story. But am I the only one to be obsessed? To find out, I talked to Dr. Viren Swamy from the University of Westminster, who was the author of The Psychology of Physical Attraction.
Why do men like breasts?
We don't know if they do or not. And if they do, then it's probably an indicator that a woman is of a reproductively fertile age. It may also be a good indicator that a woman is actually a woman.
If you're having difficulty telling that, then you're quite a way off, aren't you?
Well, actually, there are studies that have looked at how we tell the difference between a man and a woman, and actually, we don't usually use the breasts, we actually use the waist,
right.
The waist and hips.
I do it because women wear makeup and men don't. That's how I tell the difference.
That has led to some serious misunderstandings with clowns.
Are men obsessed with breasts?
Generally, I would say no.
I think they are. What evidence have you got that they're not?
They like other things better, I think.
Oh, OK.
So they emphasise other physical features more. We pay a lot more attention to the face than we do the body. Once we've got past the face, then things like body size, leg length, all matter more than breast size.
What about personality? Is that factored into the...
Yeah, so here we're talking simply, purely about physical attractiveness, not longer-term interaction. So once social interaction comes in, then physical attractiveness goes out the door, more or less.
Is initial attraction usually based on physical aspects, though?
Not usually, always. In the absence of any kind of social interaction. Once social interaction takes place, physical features don't matter as much.
But he would say that, Dr. Viren Swamy, because he was really good-looking. I think that's why he's just gone into this field of attractiveness, because people go, wow, he is attractive, he's doing his job. Anyway, I came up with an evolutionary advancement.
If men look at a woman's face first, would it be a genetic advantage for a woman to have breasts on her face? Evolutionary advantage.
I think that would make judgments of the face very difficult. And anyway, the breasts are close enough to the face.
The cheeks could have been breasts.
But then you also have to think about the fact that babies would have to suckle your face.
But if men don't care about breasts, what's the headless chicken running News International doing putting them in the paper?
So why do the editors of The Sun, what do you think they're trying to get at with putting this on page 3?
Well, there have been a few studies that have asked this question, and the main explanation is that from a sociological point of view, it does exist for a reason, which is to emphasise what is acceptable in terms of male and female behaviour. So a woman appearing in The Sun, it's acceptable for her simply to be there as an object to be viewed. And what is acceptable in terms for a man to do, for a man to observe a woman appearing naked in The Sun, is acceptable. The objectification of women in The Sun is a symptom of the objectification of women more generally, and an attempt to focus women's behaviour and their minds on superficial aspects of their identity rather than their real competencies.
Do you not think there's something about men that they get a certain satisfaction from knowing what a woman looks like naked, just because women aren't usually naked, so that would almost be enough for them?
Would it be enough?
I don't know. I'm putting it out there for you. This might just be me. But I guess if you see yourself as a powerless male who can't get together with all the different women he'd like to get together with, that kind of is a small victory, is it, that you've managed to see a kind of pretty girl with a top off, and that might be enough?
A very sad victory.
It would be, yeah, but most men are pretty sad, aren't they?
I think there'd be easier ways to get your rocks off, I think, in that sense.
Yeah, it's easy for him to say, and he's good-looking. That's right. Why did primates evolve these fun sacks in the first place?
Well, there are two competing hypotheses which are more likely. One is that breasts evolved for women, particularly because of the effects of heat on pregnancy, that breasts evolve as a heat loss mechanism among women.
It kind of takes a lot of the fun out of breasts, doesn't it? When you get science involved, that they're kind of mammary glands, that spoils it. Mammary glands. I think if they were, so the sun was forced to call them mammary glands, and then go, and they're there as a heat loss mechanism, that would put men... right off.
Honestly, he was gorgeous. I can't... If he'd put on a bit of makeup, I'd have been in a lot of trouble, I have to tell you. But how does being on page 3 affect the people who actually take part in the photo shoots? We've heard one side of the story, but I really want to hear from the other side of the story. And we're amazingly lucky to have with us Britain's number one glamour model. Will you please welcome Lucy Pinder, ladies and gentlemen? So how did you get into glamour modelling in the first place?
I was approached on a beach by a man with a camera.
Yeah. That must happen.
Sounds dodgy. I didn't want to do it. He was saying, oh, no, you know, you're in a bikini and we'll just take some pictures. There's a heat wave. My friend was adamant that I should do it, did it. And it went in the paper. And it kind of went from there. I got a phone call from The Sun saying, would you like to do Page Three? And I said, oh, no, definitely not. And then the Daily Star rang and said, would you like to come in and do a lingerie shoot? Which I did, and then it kind of rolled on from there, and I got put on contract with The Star, and that's so how it happened.
What was it? So what was it that attracted you to doing that?
I have no idea why I decided to let that man take my picture that day.
I'm telling you, it's given me some ideas, I have to say. But,
worrying.
Did he have a business card?
He had a business card.
But say yes, print a few of those up.
No,
get a camera.
It's very weird. I had no aspirations to get into modelling.
What were you planning to do before you got
I was supposed to go to university about a month later to do English literature.
This has been the most fun I've had in researching any of my guests on this show, apart from Dr. Viram Swamy. Do you feel that you're being exploited in that industry?
Personally, not. It's like anything. I think from outsiders looking in, there are a lot of kind of preconceived ideas about how the girls are treated and how it's awful. And I think when I started doing Page Three, you know, if someone had said, describe a glamour model, I would have said kind of blonde, not very bright, fake boobs, you know. But then I met a lot of the girls and thought, oh, actually, OK, this is quite fun. We get paid quite well. We could be doing a lot worse. And I think there are quite a lot of things that aren't very kosher that girls who are trying to get into the glamour industry, I think they are probably quite likely to be taken advantage of. But when you're working with professional publications, it's really, everything has to be very above board and the girls have to be looked after. It's a really weird job because people that you've never actually met before will ask you really personal or inappropriate questions about your job.
Sorry about that.
If you're being sort of like, if you were an accountant, wouldn't say, oh, you're all really boring. Yeah. But everyone kind of goes, does it really upset you that everyone thinks that you're a thick slag? And it's like, well, no, because my friends and my family know I'm not, so I don't really care.
What do you feel about it being in a newspaper, though? I mean, that's so that young girls see it, and does that give them ideas about what being a woman is?
Well, I think it's kind of a weird idea that it was ever thought up. Maybe it's a bit dated and I kind of see all of those arguments, but I don't think I ever saw a picture of a Page Three girl when I was a kid, but I don't think I would have been traumatised by seeing a pair of breasts.
Not necessarily, yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily being traumatised, but I mean, you see them very early on, that's the thing. You do get a very early access to them, usually. Do your breasts open doors?
Probably. It's weird talking about it from, like, this point of view, because we obviously think, well, it's not that big a deal, but then a lot of people find it very offensive and, you know, that's their prerogative. But it's one of those things that's a little bit, you know, these MPs think, oh, that'll get, you know, if I can, I'll get the women on side and try and ban Page Three. And it's like, go and have a word with someone else for once, you know?
Sure. But you're a businesswoman as well, and you now you're the creative director of Girl Management.
Yes.
And you've got your own website, which I looked at, there's merchandise on there, right?
There
is. I was just interested. I looked through the merchandise. On the merchandise page, you've got bookmarks, and I just wondered how many of those you sell. It seems like, is that just me? That seems like an odd. I don't know if I'm being, you know, patronising, but I just imagine guys kind of reading their porn mag, thinking, well, I'm going to have to. Got a meeting. How will I remember? I've just put this. I don't want to forget where I was. And, I just wonder how many of the bookmarks you think
sure,
you sell
actually.
On a.
I've not
I think you should look it up because I have
look.
A feeling it's going to be zero. That is it. Just my guess. Terrific. Well, ladies and gentlemen, please give them a massive round of applause. The wonderful Lucy Pinder. Lucy Pinder, ladies and gentlemen. Beautiful Lucy Pinder. Thank you very much. Of course, you could argue that feminism means women have the choice to do what they wish with their bodies, and I prefer that to there being some set standard of how many clothes women are allowed to wear at what point. They can make their choice themselves. Some Muslims believe that women should be covered at all times with a burqa and hijab so as to prevent a situation where men will become aroused by the women's naked flesh. But if the problem's with men controlling their desires, then I suggest it would be easier and cheaper just to take the little strip of cloth cut out of the burqa so the women can see and just stick that over men's eyes. That would be...
You get a lot more of them. Women can do whatever they want. That's fine. It's men's fault. Supporters of Page 3 claim it's just a celebration of the female form and there's nothing damaging about it. But when you think about it, the fact that the pictures are on Page 3 is a tacit admission that there's something inappropriate going on. If young women having breasts even belonged in a newspaper, then you could put it on Page 1. But it doesn't go on Page 1 because we know that would be wrong. Because what if the children saw it? So they hide the breasts safely behind a single sheet of paper. Because there's no way kids would be able to find the way to turn one page. It's as good as a childproof cap on a medicine bottle, isn't it? But for the moment, if you want something to remain hidden from view of whoever it will offend, then Page 3 of the newspaper's maybe not the best place. They'll still see it. Claire Short puts it like this.
Well, the thing about it being in the newspapers is that it isn't a private thing.
No.
I mean, there are pornographic magazines that are on the top shelf and that some men buy, and I might think that's a bit sad, but that's a private activity.
Yeah.
Putting these in newspapers is very much lying around on kitchen tables,
yeah.
In the shops where kids are buying their sweets, making those images normal in our culture. Non-British people think it's disgusting.
Right.
And they think, I thought I knew the British, but this is vile. I think there's something distorted in the core of it myself.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying no one should ever look at such pictures if they want to be distorted and unhappy, says she. But I do think they shouldn't be in our newspapers.
I think she's right that we do have a very childish attitude towards sex and sexuality in the UK. We're all like teenagers trying to bore a hole in the wall with a compass in the hope of seeing some flash of a modified sweat gland. Page 3 is a symptom of this country's emotional immaturity. Oh, look, girls have breasts. We need to grow up. We really do, or at least pretend to. In France, the men play it cool and at least pretend to be mature, and women don't feel objectified or oppressed about their bodies, and they all sunbathe with their tops off. Maybe it's a bad thing that we teach our kids that there's anything wrong with nudity at all, but it's probably not great that the only example of nudity they will see is this very narrow demographic of pneumatic women between 16 and 24. We come in all shapes and sizes. If we're going to celebrate nudity, we have to celebrate it all. So let's give Rupert Murdoch and the other newspaper magnates a choice. They can either stop Page 3 altogether now, or we pass a law where Page 3 is made compulsory, but the subject of the picture, who must appear topless, will be selected by lottery from the entire UK public. Thus truly celebrating us all ages, all races, all sexes, all sizes, and it'll be a fitting punishment to the paper if there's a chance you'd open your tabloid to see a photo of a fat builder with man boobs and a rash. That would... See, I told Claire Short about this idea. I thought she'd be well on side with this.
I think that's not going to happen.
No. It'd be nice. We'd be celebrating the human form in all its variety.
No,
I've got man boobs.
Everybody's... You know, we're all naked sometimes in our baths and showers and whatever, but that doesn't mean it should all be in the newspapers, for goodness sake.
Killjoy. I know the rest of you be well up for my Page 3 lottery. It could be you, mate, though, don't mean to be rude, but not sure you're going to sell any bookmarks afterwards. That's all I'm saying. Thank you very much for listening. Good evening.
You've been listening to Richard Herring's Objective, written by and starring Richard Herring with me, TV's Emma Kennedy, and special guest Lucy Pinder. The producer was Talusha Gilani.
And next week, the object for Richard to be objective about will be the old school tie with studio guest Alexi Sale.